You know, when we left home, we kept with great joy and anticipation in our hearts looking forward to being at this convention. And as each day went by, we kept trying to push it back. It reminds me of an experience that I had a few years ago when I got called to go to have a funeral discourse. And so I had to drive about 80 miles, which wasn't very far, but on the day of the services, when I came into the funeral home, I could hear the family weeping for the loss of their mother. And as I walked into the room to see the family, one of the elder's daughters turned around and saw me, and she says, "Oh no, I don't want to see you." But we know the time had come to say goodbye. And so I kept pushing it back, but the time has come to say adieu. We're going to use the 100th Psalm for our basis for our thoughts at this final discourse of the day. And I would like for you to really think about these words as we read them and see how they applied to you in the past week. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. The 1980 Albion General Convention, for which we have longed for and prayed for and we planned for and we saved for and we sacrificed for and all the things that you did that enabled you to get here this year, is almost over. For six precious days, the song of Moses and the Lamb has echoed from this building. It has echoed in here and in the auditorium and in the our places of abode, in the cafeterias, in our conversations with those we love. Surely, as David stated in this psalm, a joyful noise, a joyful sound unto the Lord was made here. Our hearts leaped within us when we heard, or perhaps made that joyful sound unto the Lord. The joyful sound, the wonderful plan of the ages. That grand plan that will bring salvation not only to the footstep followers of Christ, but to all this groaning human family. And therein lies our great joy. Oh, what a joy it is to know that this groaning, travailing human family is soon going to be blessed by our gracious Father in heaven. And that this groaning, travailing family is waiting. They're waiting for something. And what are they waiting for? Are they waiting for a great time of trouble? They're living in a great time of trouble. Are they waiting for war? There's wars all over the earth. Are they waiting for recession? All this trouble is already here. But unknown to this groaning, travailing, suffering human family, they are waiting till the adoption of 144,000 are sealed in their foreheads and they are taken beyond the veil. And when this bride, this 144,000, is completed, then what the world has been waiting for will be made manifest in all the earth. Then this joyful sound that has been going forth here for 6 days is going to go forth, and every ear on earth will hear that glorious melody. Our eyes have been opened to see the glorious aspects of the Word of God. Ye indeed, brethren, are the children of light. We have come to this place in the presence of our Heavenly Father. We have come here from all parts of the earth. We have come with singing, not only with the harmonious strains of the Word of God, but also with the hymns of praise, with thanksgiving, with testimony, with all manner of praise from hearts and lips of those dear ones. We have heard many words of praise from those dear ones who have been years in the truth. When we have heard words of praise from those who haven't been in the truth but a short while. And surely we will not forget those bright, shining faces of youth as the truth is being manifested to them. And they are just learning to love their Creator, and they are just learning to love their Lord, even as you and I learned in times past. Why have you all chosen to come here? What has drawn you to be here for these past 6 days? I think we all may commonly share that one desire. It is that we have a desire to serve our Lord with gladness. Some of us may have come here because we may have needed a little bit of help. We may have needed a little bit of extra encouragement. And so we have come here to be in the presence of our dear brethren with our Heavenly Father. But I am sure that no one was forced to come here. But rather, each one had a strong desire to be here, for it is times like this that we find gladness and we find much joy. And if we have been in this convention, taking this gladness and embalming our hearts with it and anointing our character with it, if we have been storing it up inside, when we go home, it should shine forth from us. When we leave this place, brethren, we should be like Moses coming out of the mountain when they couldn't look upon him for the glory that shone from him and the glory and the blessed union that we have experienced here should be radiated when we go back into the world. You know, as the darkness engulfs the world, we don't want to forsake the assembling of ourselves together while we yet have the privilege to do so. We still have the privilege to get together and to learn of Him, to sit at the feet of Jesus, and to learn what His will is for us. And let us always take advantage of that. Indeed, brethren, we have not been unmindful of those who had the strong desire to be here, but because of various circumstances could not join this blessed body. They too serve the Lord with gladness, even if they're not here. I would venture to say that every one of us have thought about those loved ones whose conflicts and toils have ended. They too, when they were here, served the Lord with gladness. Yes, Thou, O Lord, hast made me glad through Thy work. O Lord, how great are Thy works! Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. I wonder if sometimes in our lives if we may not tend to forget that. Who made us? Of course, we're talking about the development of the new creature. Who is making the new creature? Are you making it? The works of His hands are verity and judgment. All His commandments are sure. They stand fast forever. And that is so beautiful, that the Word of God, the truth, stands fast forever. It never changes. It never changes. And we are, while we are here, and as though we be gone, the truth will never change. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and revered is His name. What have we, brethren, on our own? What have we done to be boastful of? It's our Heavenly Father. It is He who has taken each one of you and individually molding each one of you. It is He who is shaping you. It is He who is fitting you, polishing you, and shaping you that you might fit in that royal diadem. It's the Heavenly Father's doing this. No one else. Oh, and isn't that wonderful? Isn't that beautiful to know that our Heavenly Father is doing this to you and I? He hath made us, and not we ourselves. We call to mind along this line the experiences of Job. You remember what happened to Job? Seems that Job got to thinking that he was pretty good. He got the idea that being so good, since he had so much, and everything was going so good for him, it seems that Job might have thought he was kind of righteous. But God began to question Job. And God asked Job some questions. And he said, "Who is this man, Job, that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" And he told Job, "Gird up thy loins, Job, like a man, for I will demand of thee, and I will ask thee to answer me. I'm going to ask you some questions. Answer me, Job. If you are righteous, or if you think you have never done anything wrong, if you think maybe you're not a sinner." Time doesn't permit us, of course, brethren, to go into all that transpired with Job. But there are a few points that we'd like to point out. God asked Job, "Where wast thou, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth?" Where were you? What are the foundations of the world fastened on? Answer me. Canst thou tell me? Who shut up the doors to the sea? Why doesn't the sea flow all over the earth? Who shut them up? Canst thou tell me? Who causes it to rain where there is no man? Only great ground waste. But it causes, the rain causes the wasteland to be satisfied. Sometimes in a cloudy day, go out and count the clouds. Who hath numbered the clouds? Did you, Job? You think God was just talking to Job? We will find out a little bit later on. I think our Heavenly Father really made Job realize that it is our Father only who could have performed such wondrous works, and that He alone was the center of all understanding, and that we should meditate upon that relationship of our Father and Job. Now the Apostle Paul gives us another insight concerning the relationship with our Father, not as a friend of God, as Job was, but as sons of God. And for this, we'd like to turn to the second chapter of Ephesians. We're going to read from the 1st to the 10th verses and see what the Apostle Paul gives us in the line of son relationship. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, where in times past so did you walk also, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, wherewith He loved us, and here's the secret. It is God who loved. It is God who loved us first, even when we were dead in sin. Yes, He loved us. And He quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised up us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places. He has made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Oh no. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast of himself, as Job did, not of works. For we are His workmanship. It is God's creation. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made high by the blood of Christ. You know, before, in times past, before we were accepted of God, we weren't much different than the world. Not really. In times past, we perhaps walked according to the ways of the world. Our conversation, we dealt with earthly things, our desires, our hopes, our aims were all the same as mankind. In times past, being Gentiles, oh yes, we would have been alienated from God because we couldn't have had any part in the covenant that God had made with natural Israel. Isn't that a painful thought? Isn't that a painful thought if you think about it? That we could have been alienated and remained alienated from God. Oh, how blessed are your eyes, brethren, for they see, and for your ears, for they hear. Never forget, never lose sight of the preciousness of the gift that you have become sons of God. What changed this entire hopeless outlook that we had? Was it something we did? Was it something that we thought out? Was it something that we went back and sat down and just began to think about it? And, well, we decided this is the way it should be. If that be the case, just as with Job, then I asked ourselves the question, where were you or I when God, who is rich in mercy, loved us long before we ever knew Him? Where were you then? Are we then, brethren, saved because of any kind of works we might do? Oh, no, brethren. There is no work that you could do to bring salvation. It is by grace that ye are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God. God gave you that gift. And not of works. And you say, well, why not of works? Lest any man should boast in himself that he is worthy. But now, because of our gracious Father's great love, we are no longer alienated from Him, but we are drawn close through Him through the blood of Christ. He is our peace. It is through Him and because of Him that He laid to rest the law, which made it impossible to become reconciled to God. Our most gracious Father, long before we ever knew Him, perhaps maybe long before we even thought about Him, knew that He was going to gather up a group of saints, and that this group would be led by one Spirit. And that by that one Spirit, He would take and fit each one of this group into that holy temple so beautifully, beautifully framed together by Christ. Yes, brethren, He has raised us up together, and He has made us to sit together, hasn't He? Yeah. Is there anyone that you can't sit with? And they're your brethren. Christ has made us to sit together. Ah, together, that is the bond of love. You remember what Paul said? Though I have all wisdom, and though I have all knowledge and all understanding, and I have not charity or love, I am as nothing. I am as a tinkling brass or as a sounding cymbal. I am nothing. Love is such a wonderful thing. It doesn't puff itself up. It doesn't hate. It has no pride in it. Love is so many wonderful things. And love together, now and in the future, will be the bond that will tie God's plan together, because it was founded in love. In ages to come, all will see the exceeding riches of His grace and in His kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. They may not see it now, and though they persecute you, and though they revile you, all in the name of Christ, but in the kingdom, they will love you. They will remember that you were here. They will miss you. Yes, they will miss you in the kingdom. Brethren, if we make our calling and election sure, and when this grand and glorious kingdom is set on this earth, and when righteousness will prevail, here and there there will be missed someone. And then your people will remember. And your neighbors will remember you. And your friends will remember you. And they will know that here and there was one born in Zion. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. And oh, how bountifully have we been fed for these past 6 days. Surely, brethren, we have dined at the table of kings. We have been given such a balanced spiritual diet, all that we need to make us strong in the fruits of the Spirit. Enter into His gates, dearly beloved. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His holy name. Bless His holy name. I surely believe that every child of God has entertained this text in his heart. We remember that reverence of the Lord is only the beginning of wisdom. Yes, reverence of the Lord is only the beginning of wisdom. With wisdom comes knowledge. And with knowledge comes understanding. And wealth comes with understanding. The responsibility to our Father. If He has given you wisdom, and He has given you knowledge, and He has given you so graciously and so freely understanding, now you have a responsibility. It is no light matter to accept the provisions of the Almighty. You have accepted His provisions. We search then to know His will and to strive to do His will to the best of our ability. From the rising of the sun in the morning to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. And oh, what a blessed thing it is to wake in the morning and thank the Lord for that waking moment. And what a blessed privilege it is to do that every waking moment of your life. I like to think, brethren, that this thought not only suggest praise from our hearts and lips, but that we show praise to Him in every act, in every word, in every thought, through each waking hour. Well, there are times that our thoughts are commanded elsewhere, in our business and in our workings, in our earning of a livelihood, in which our Heavenly Father expects us to do graciously. But there are also moments of relaxation. And what a privilege and what a blessing it is to have your mind and your heart that at them times thinking about your Lord, thinking about His promises, thinking of the things that He has done for you right then, that day. You know, we couldn't count all the blessings that God has showered upon us. And the Apostle Paul gives many of them. Time doesn't permit us to list any of them, but we might want, is it any wonder then that we realize how great a thing it is to enter into the presence of our gracious Father, to pour out our hearts to Him as a son and not as a servant. Yes, brethren, we have become sons of God. And in so doing, we have become brothers of Christ. He is our elder brother. And we can have fellowship with Him and with our Father who art in heaven. How blessed is a relationship it is. How holy to communicate and to commune with the Creator of all the universe. Yes, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. The truth of God endured before us and while we are here and after we are gone. The great I Am that I Am, worthy of praise, worthy of thanksgiving. And the wonder of all wonders, that He hears us. And when we speak to Him, He answers our prayers. And He instructs us. And He teaches us. And He lets us know what's pleasing to Him. This little bit of clay speaking to the Creator of that clay. May He be your refuge and your fortress, brethren, every moment of your life. May He give His angels charge over you and keep you in all your ways, because you have set your love upon Him. May He deliver you when you answer Him, when you call upon Him. May He deliver you when you are in trouble. And may He honor you all with long life, showing you His salvation. Peace be unto you, dear brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.